We actually had quite a few email systems within NASA. Every center had several email systems. We consolidated that all down to one system, the NOMAD system we call it, the NASA Operational Messaging and Directory Services. We took the headquarters email system and consolidated it first. That was 3 years earlier. And several CIOs later, we went through a consolidation where we were able to get all the other centers on board. That took quite a while, and we saw a lot of benefit from it.
Obviously, this type of project is one of those projects that you have a lot of hope for that takes a while to get through. Now that you're through it, what are some of the benefits you're seeing from email consolidation?
Some of the benefits that we've seen are in the areas of mobility, scalability. We really worked hard to make sure that we weren't going to stop with the current level of customers. As customers grow, we'll be able to scale very easily. Security, of course, with going from many, many platforms to one, makes that a little bit easier. Uniformity, as I just said. Cost management. Before, we didn't know a lot about our costs. Every center did it, and even within one center, you may have 10 subsystems that were being used. So cost management is now something we can really get our fingers around. Visibility, and then in the end, it was a culture change, you know, going to an enterprise system compared to having each center do it the way they wanted, and maybe not in a standardized way.
And I'm sure as you're going through this, I remember you saying during your presentation at the NASA CIO Summit, it supports something like 60,000 plus users, so that's a scale issue, but then you also now add the mobile piece to it, and I think that's something you could have planned for during the kind of the strategy side. Were you guys able to plan for that, or is that something that kind of came in kind of on the back end? I think you had a Nomad 1 and a Nomad 2, right?
Correct. And going back to the early days, I don't think anybody could have foreseen the explosion of smartphones that are out there and all these other new devices that are coming out, like the iPad, things like that. And being able to grab your email on your iPad or your smartphone is something that everybody's demanding now. And we've done a lot of work to make sure that any little bugs are worked out so that people can use that, because NASA has a very mobile workforce.
A lot of agencies are following the same process of email consolidation. We're seeing an RFQ, for instance, as a General Services Administration to move email to the cloud. The Army, for instance, is moving their email to DISO, basically a private cloud. There's several other agencies doing the same thing. When you look back on your experience at NASA, what are some best practices, lessons learned that you would pass along to maybe some other agencies who are just in the beginning stages of this?
Probably the most important is executive buy-in. Without that, you don't have anybody to make sure that a champion to make sure the project's going to go through. Next would be planning, then communicating. You really have to communicate this out to a lot of people. And by that, I mean setting up a bunch of user groups, wide testing. You really want to be able to test everything you can, every conceivable thing that may pop up, so that you don't have any problems when you go to implement. Because there's nothing worse than trying to implement and having it fall right on its face on the first hour of that implementation.
You mentioned culture change, getting that buy-in, both from an executive level but also from the user level. We hear that a lot. Get the buy-in, get the executive buy-in. And a lot of times the executive says, yeah, let's do this. And then as time goes on, they kind of get out of, they stop keeping in touch with it. How do you ensure that that buy-in stays at the level you need it?
Giving a weekly brief, or even sometimes a daily brief, depending on the criticality of the project, is the best way. You don't want to have the executive up top not have your back whenever you're doing the project. So you got to keep them up to date. You got to do dashboards and weekly briefings, or even daily, depending on the criticality of the project.
And that's something that can be difficult, because the executive gets pulled in so many directions. You got to almost make your case to say, okay, you need to be aware of this, because if your email goes down, you're going to be the first one on the phone calling saying, what's going on? I need my email. Is that the type of case you kind of have to make?
Well, you make that kind of a case. Also, something that we do at NASA quite a bit is business cases. Very important. It shows the cost and what the real benefits are going to be in the end.
One of the things you also mentioned was the communication piece. Now, again, something we hear a lot about project. Make sure you communicate with the end user. You mentioned user groups. What kind of user groups did NASA do? Was it a space center by space center? Was it a specific, we did managers and we did GS-12s and we did, how did you set up those user groups?
Over time, I've learned that it's not just certain groups. We got to hit each center. Every center is a little different, so you got to have representatives from all the centers. There's mission directorates. Each one of those has a totally different mission, and bringing in their experience and their knowledge is just something that makes the project way better.
And also the idea of understanding their needs and saying, okay, well, you use email for what? Well, we use it mainly for calendaring, but we communicate in person. Everyone, I'm sure, has those different needs. need.
Absolutely. Some of the missions use the email system for critical times in their mission and absolutely cannot be down. So we make sure during those specific times that we don't have any upgrades or anything like that going on.
As I mentioned, there's a lot of agencies who are kind of on that cusp of starting implementation. When you look back at NASA's implementation, or when you look back at some of the other big projects you've done, what kind of advice would you say to them? Hey, here's something that I wish I did, but I didn't do. And when I, hindsight 2020, I wish I would have done it differently.
That's funny. Another agency approached me recently and asked that exact same question. And the advice I gave them was, bring those SMEs in, those subject matter experts in from your agency. Bring them on in and have them sit down and try to help you write the requirements, whatever those are, to make sure that you capture it all. Who else knows it better than those folks?
And then obviously the time factor, everyone probably always tries to plan too much, too big, and the idea of agile software development, and in this case just agile project development, is something that's bigger across government. Did you guys find that the smaller chunks, center by center, was made more sense than the Big Bang Theory?
For us, as you've seen with the contracts, the Big Bang Theory is a little bit more the route we went. And I do think that breaking out the pieces like we did when we were originally starting this was a great idea, and it really does help.
Obviously, we've talked about Nomad 1, Nomad 2, which is the second version. We're almost looking at a third version in many ways, because part of one of the big I3P RFPs talks about maybe email as part of that. I know there's some procurement sensitivities, but one of the questions that was at the session talked about, are you going to move email to the cloud? Is that something you guys are considering?
Well, it's in the RFP that everyone on the street can read, and it says for the vendors to bring forth their ideas on that. So, we're looking forward to that.